You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. We spent a great deal of time having some amazing conversations. Buzz Patterson called in from California, where he was actually at the debate last night, talked to us about what he saw and the fact that his wife actually runs part of the Reagan Library. Boomer McQueen segment was amazing. We had Lee from Huntsville call in. You guys have been texting in like crazy. So it's been quite the intensive show. We're going to keep it moving right now. A good friend of mine, somebody who I just care about and appreciate, John Rogers. John actually is from Alabama. He worked in my 2014 campaign. He went on from there to work for the majority leader in the Alabama State Senate for a number of years. And now he's in the big leagues up in D.C. Working with Signal Polling and Analytics as a senior pollster. And I thought, you know what? As long as we're talking about how things went last night, how things are going in the race overall, I thought, what better to do than to get a guy in whose job it is to analyze the analytics and to tell us where the sentiments lie. So without further ado, let me bring on my friend, John Rogers. How you doing?
Phil, I'm doing great. How are things with you, sir?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. Thank you for making time for us, calling in from the Eastern time zone. Hey, listen, what are you guys seeing right now? I mean, I know that Signal... Signal's pretty amazing. Y'all started, Brent Buchanan started the company right here in Alabama, but you guys are a national polling firm now. You're seeing things on a broad scale. Where are we right now with the Republican primaries?
Yeah, so just to situate your listeners, you know, we had the second debate last night out in California. The third Republican primary debate will be on November 8th in Miami. But voting doesn't even start in the primary until January. And that's when the Iowa caucuses kick off. New Hampshire, they have not settled yet on a time. In New Hampshire, they were thinking about trying to hopscotch over Iowa, and then there's been a lot of pushback with that. So New Hampshire will probably vote right after Iowa, and then you get South Carolina and Nevada. And then you have the SEC primary slash, you know, kind of Super Tuesday slate of primaries. And so I say all that to say that there's still a lot of time left in the Republican primary. I think that the first debate, which happened a couple of weeks ago, everybody was kind of jockeying for position and trying to define themselves. And, you know, you had Asa Hutchinson, who was not on the debate stage last night. I expect by the time that we get to the third debate stage in Miami, November 8th, that likely there'll be one or two others that have been culled from the field as well. So I think we're about to start seeing the winnowing of the field over the next month.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think we almost have to be honest. I mean, it, you know, you look at it and think, first of all, what a great panel. I mean, what a great buffet of candidates, if you will. But that being said, the size of the buffet can get a bit overwhelming. We need to start getting down to substantive discussions and see who the front runners are going to be. Are you guys polling this race in any category, or for that matter, talk to us about whether you're polling any head-to-heads with the projected Democrat candidates?
Yeah, we're polling both the Republican primaries and especially the general election off and on. And we do a national survey every month. And the last one we did, which was before the debate, it was a week or two ago. You know, Trump still had a decent lead. Vivek Ramaswamy has shown a lot of movement. DeSantis has, you know, fallen, I think, a little bit. And there was actually a report, I don't know if you saw it or not, but in the Washington Post saying that some of the donors who I think had been friendly to DeSantis, they're now starting to try to look at Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, and see if he might be interested in getting into the race. But I think it's too late for anyone to try to get into the field. It really takes a huge logistical operation to get on the ballot in each of these states. And generally, with each of these states, you have to be on the ballot by early to mid-December. So it's going to be almost impossible for anyone else to get in the field and really make a go of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're having a hard enough time. Some of the candidates seeing their way through, and they do have the infrastructure built out, but they're still not able to keep up. I mean, I think that we're going to wind up seeing Hutchison, Burgum, probably Chris Christie, having to drop out sometime in the near future, I would think, wouldn't you?
I think so. I think Burgum seems like a really solid guy and has been a good governor. But, you know, he spent a lot of his own money. He's shown no movement in the polls. I think that he'll get out. Yeah, he might stay until Iowa, but I don't think he'll stay in past that. And probably the same thing for Asa Hutchison. Chris Christie, you know, he might try to stay until New Hampshire, because that's where I think he feels like he's got some sort of shot at getting into the top three. With some of these other, but then you get to the tier above that, which I think is really the serious contenders. And you have Ramaswamy, you have DeSantis, and then Nikki Haley has shown some movement after the first debate. But I think those are the ones that people who are looking for an alternative to Trump, those are going to be the candidates that they really look at.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the numbers that those people have are basically the folks who are not voting for Trump. I mean, between all the people on that stage, that's the I'm not voting for Trump groupings. They're just divided up among the seven or eight who are still in the race. But let me ask you this. What are you guys sensing, seeing, reading with regards to, can anybody catch Trump? Is that even possible right now? I mean, a lot can happen between now and January. A week is a lifetime in politics, but still, I look at it and think, I don't know that anybody could play true catch-up right now. Do you?
We'll see how things go. I mean, he's definitely in the lead. But, you know, in polls that we have done, one question that we have asked Republican primary voters is we ask, are you only considering Donald Trump? Are you not considering Donald Trump at all? So kind of never Trumpers. And then a third category that we offer is, are you open to all candidates, including Donald Trump? And that's actually the largest category in the Republican primary electorate. The only Trump people are usually around 30%, something like that. The never Trump crowd is around 20 to 25%. And then the rest are open to everyone, including Donald Trump. So I think the key for somebody like Ramaswamy or DeSantis or Nikki Haley is they've got to figure out a way to capture the majority of that crowd who are open to all the candidates, including Trump. And if they can consolidate at least a plurality of that group and then pick up some, you know, maybe some never Trump voters, then they have a chance to do it. And I think, though, that, you know, things are really going to, after Iowa and New Hampshire, you really get a sense of like, okay, are there one or two candidates that are going to be able to go the long haul with Trump all the way, you know, till we get into April and May? I think we'll have a really good sense of that after the first two states.
Well, I would agree, and I think that's good insight. So let me ask you this. What are you guys seeing in a head-to-head with Biden? Because right now, he's the default. I mean, the DNC has chosen to rally around a guy who is oftentimes appearing to be just a hollow shell. But all that to say, it seems the Democrats want to run against Trump. I mean, sometimes I wonder, are they trying to crucify Trump so they can get rid of him? Or are they trying to crucify Trump so that they can drive him up in the polls? Because they know that every time they try to do another indictment, he gets more poll numbers. So who does better, in your view, right now against Biden? Because they keep saying they think they can beat Trump, and they're more worried about DeSantis. What's the truth?
So I have not seen any really recent polling on the other candidates versus Biden. With Trump and Biden, it's pretty close, right? So if you went back a couple of months ago, Biden was ahead by multiple points against Trump. And now in our latest national poll, it was pretty close. Trump and Biden are unpopular, right? And I think the electorate, there's a lot of independent voters who are never going to vote for Trump. But then there's also some independent voters that are, I think, pretty leery about Biden's age and his acuity. It's really interesting to hear Democrat voters and people on the other side of the aisle who are pretty worried, I think, about the president and wish that there was somebody that maybe they could turn to. But they're bound to their fate. Biden is going to be the nominee unless some sort of, you know, radical health problem emerges. And despite what Gavin Newsom would like, he's going to have to wait, I think, until 2028 to have a crack at running for president.
Okay. Well, you answered my next question. I would assume that y'all see Gavin. I mean, Gavin Newsom's posturing himself. He's not even pretending. He's posturing himself as the heir apparent in the event that something goes wrong, even to the extent that he's going to have a live debate with Ron DeSantis, which I think is going to be a potential breakout moment for DeSantis if he handles it well, going head-to-head with, you know, a liberal icon next month in a solo debate.
You know, it was interesting that Newsom went on Fox News last night and
yes.
He, you know, did the interview with Sean Hannity. I mean, that took a lot of gumption for him to do. Newsom is much more articulate than Kamala Harris, and I'm sure that Kamala Harris's handlers were gnashing their teeth last night watching Newsom on Fox News. But I think for DeSantis's team, it is an opportunity for him to have a moment where I think that debate, if I remember correctly, is going to be on Hannity on Fox News, and it'll be a chance for DeSantis to showcase his ability to go up against a prominent Democrat. But I do wonder if the DeSantis team, when it comes down to it, if they may wish that they had a couple of days and that they may spend in debate preparation to spend more time on the ground in Iowa and Hampshire. The one thing that is a scarce resource is time. And you can raise more money, you know, you can try to run more ads, but there's no way that you can get additional time in these early states. And so it'd be interesting to see what the fallout of that is.
Yeah, it will. Listen, John, we got about a minute and a half left. Let me ask you this. All right, we've talked about candidates. We've talked about head-to-heads and a little bit of the fave-unfave side of polling results. But what about the issues? Is there any one particular issue that you think is driving the train more than others? Are y'all polling issues as well as candidates?
We are always polling issues. You know, I think one issue that is really going to continue to play out, and this is going to be in 2024 and beyond, is the abortion issue. Mm. And, you know, the Dobbs decision reversed Roe v. Wade, sent that back to the states, and it's been sort of an up and down. It's been up and down in the year since then for the pro-life movement. And we did a poll recently where we asked about abortion and whether we gave, I think it was four or five different options, you know, should it be illegal, should it be limited after 6 months of pregnancy with exceptions, should it be limited after 12 weeks of pregnancy with exceptions. And 70% of American voters want some sort of restrictions on abortion. And so there's this, you know, kind of narrative, I think, in the media that, oh, well, you know, this is an issue that pro-life cause is losing. But that's not necessarily true. But it is going to be sort of a fractured landscape. And pro-life groups and Republicans are going to have to really kind of coalesce around the best way to present that issue. I did think it was interesting. Trump criticized Brian Kemp and Ken Reynolds, governors of Georgia and Iowa, for signing heartbeat bills. Yeah. And he may have done that because he feels like that he needs to triangulate to the general election already, and he feels like he's got the primary sewn up. But I do think that's going to be something that his team will wish he had not said. And in Georgia in particular, Brian Kemp signed a strong 6-week abortion ban and then turned around and won a contested primary against a former senator in David Perdue and then soundly beat Stacey Abrams.
Yeah.
To the point where she actually had to concede. So this is an issue that Republicans can be pro-life on, and if they're seen as competent in a lot of the other issues, voters are willing to hear them out.
That's interesting. All right, John. Hey, listen, man, we are so out of time. I ran a little bit long, but I appreciate your insights as always. And when you guys get some later poll results back, we'd love to have you back on, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Phil.
All right. That's John Rogers, senior pollster with Signal. That's spelled CYGNAL, Signal Polling and Analytics out of D.C. Longtime friend, great guy, Alabama guy, now in D.C., polling on the national level. All right, listen, we're going to keep bringing you great guests like that, to include, at the bottom of the hour, John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, calling in Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.